I'm Clint Emerson, and welcome to Season 2 of Can You Survive This Podcast, where the interview is just as dangerous as the scenarios I put my guests through. From hostage situations to natural disasters, carjackings, active shooters, and more, if you're looking for the skills necessary to survive these situations, then this is the show for you. Thank you for allowing me to torture your ears with another episode of Can You Survive This Podcast? And today, I've got a buddy with over four decades. God, that makes him old. Four decades of martial arts experience, including three decades of instructing self-defense and personal fitness, and two decades working nightclub security. That's a lot of decades. Jesus. Marcus has become a respected expert in responding to and de-escalating violence situations, certifying men and women in over 20 countries to become Krav Maga instructors, conducting instructional seminars, and rank testing. He is the only non-Israeli on the International Krav Maga Federation instructor team. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on it.
Yeah. Hey, so how you been, buddy?
I'm great, man. I woke up breathing. How the fuck can I complain, right?
I'm taking it by looking at your shirt and your background that you are a big Batman fan. If for those of you listening, he's got a Batman shirt on that is colored with the state of Texas flag.
Yeah.
And in the background, he's got a Batman picture frame.
Yeah.
Old school. That's the old school Batman. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Two things in this shirt that I love the most. I love Batman and I love Texas.
Yeah. But you live where?
Correct. I live in Arizona. But that being said, it's looking more and more like I'll be coming back that way. I went there recently for some workshops and man, it killed me to get on the plane to leave. So somehow, some way I'm going to make it back.
Yeah, I hope so. And next time we'll have to link up. I know. I think we were both going in different directions where you were here, but
correct.
We'll make it happen, man. That's awesome. So you know, let's rewind. I like to kind of go back and get people's foundation, their history. So, your martial arts started at age 10. What'd you start with?
I started with Kung Fu, and ironically, I was taught by the guy who tortured Rambo in First Blood.
You mean he was like the actor was your
the
instructor?
Actor who they showed the Chinese guy or the Asian guy who was supposed to be Vietnamese, he's really Chinese. But they flash back and then when Rambo's having the torture scene and there's a dude, that was my Kung Fu instructor.
No kidding. So the guy that was like cutting his chest.
Yeah. Stephen Chang was his name.
Ah, yeah. I remember that. Rambo's walking through that town. The cop rolls him up. They put him in the, as soon as they took him in and put him in the jail and he saw the bars, he started having flashbacks.
Because Rambo, that movie was filmed in BC, in British Columbia, where I'm from.
Yeah, that's right. Hope.
Yeah.
Hope, British Columbia. I want to go up and check that area out.
It's beautiful. It is a beautiful area.
Yeah. I kind of want to just put on a green Vietnam jacket and just walk through town. You know, I wonder how many people do that on a regular basis.
Listen, make sure there's some camera there because I want to see what happens. Either two things are going to be like, holy fuck, or they're going to be like, another one. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Just put a sea bag over your shoulder and kind of walk through.
Yeah.
All disgruntled looking.
Yeah, disheveled. Yeah,
that'd be kind of fun. All right, so you started with Kung Fu. Now, Kung Fu, like the Wing Chun Kung Fu?
Well, it was, for those that, I mean, well, you're kind of like a martial arts geek, ninja that you are. I studied this stuff called Hungar. It's a southern system. That means not a lot of high kicks, a lot of rigid stances. It was definitely a direct opposite of what I ended up doing later on, which was more like the Jet Li stuff, wushu, which is flying in the air and cartwheels and cool shit. that was fun as a teenager. And then I ended up doing a traditional style of karate called Wei Chiru, which is like bare bones, you know, you're breaking knees and smashing people. Those are good times.
Yeah, I kind of had the same evolution where you start with like a basic martial art where there's a lot of katas and memorizing these stances and, you know, formations. And then right. You know, in order to earn a belt, you know, you're kind of going through those katas against an imaginary bad guy in front of you, making sure you do all the punches, the kicks, and whatever else properly. But yeah, and then as you get kind of move through it, and then you finally get to the good stuff, you know, with our age group, it all evolved to what MMA is today. Like now you got kids that get to start right where the good stuff is, where we had to like let it evolve over time.
Painfully, did a lot of stupid shit to get to the good stuff.
Right. Yeah. The unrealistic stuff. But I mean, there is something to be said for traditional martial arts, right? I mean, it still puts the discipline and
I'm definitely without a doubt. If you had to cut me open, I'm more of a traditionalist. Even with the world that we live in and what I do for a living, in my heart, I'm always going to be a traditionalist. That's like when you brought Stephen Hayes on, I was like, oh my God, I'm reliving my childhood right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Black Belt magazines, Chuck Norris, like these are all things that I don't know. We had an advantage, in my opinion, growing up the way we did with the stuff going on the way it was. I think is fantastic.
Right. Yeah. You bring up Stephen K. Hayes, the first American Ninja. Yeah, most people may or may not know that you are in. You're one of my stars in 100 Deadly Skills Combat Edition. Yeah. Oh, look at you. You even got one right there. And so is Stephen K. Hayes, the first American Ninja, which that's cool. And you went over. So what year did you start getting into Krav Maga?
2005. Okay. I went over. And it just because of happenstance, I just happened to, whatever, the universe has a sick sense of humor. I ended up meeting the guy who was becoming my instructor through a weird events, and he was like, okay, well, you gotta come to Israel and train with me for a month. And at the time, you know, in 2005, I hadn't really traveled. I was still, you know, just a Canadian kid. I think I went to fucking Hawaii. That was it. So to go overseas in the Middle East, you know, you don't know any better. You only get what the news is telling you. So the girl I was dating at the time, she sewed fucking Canadian flags everywhere as if that was going to make some kind of a difference. God bless her heart. And I spent a month there, and it completely shifted everything. Like that was the baseball bat to the head that completely altered my existence and what I was going to do for the rest of my life.
Wow. Yeah. I guess, you know, you're also at this time, I mean, Krav wasn't really as commonly known as it is now, right?
No, in the 90s, it had a big hit because the Israelis and an American brought it over to Los Angeles, and it got kind of famous for a little while in some movies, and then it just got ripped apart due to, you know, it just got really famous and really, people would say fancy. It had lost its way. And again, these are not my words, they're other people's words. And then in the later on, it started to kind of evolve a little bit more, but still 2005 was not, it wasn't what it is today in recognition via hearing the word.
Yeah. And just for those that don't know, Krav was created by Israeli military, right? Is it mainly their special operations guys or just the whole army itself?
No, it was actually put at the, from the infantry level. Like you went in, you just learned a whole bunch of stuff that was going to be utilized almost immediately because a lot of their operations ended up being pretty damn close for the most part. You know, when they were engaging, I mean, the enemy's only, you know, few moments away, you know what I mean?
Right.
The fights were not far away. And then when weapons failure would happen, they'd have to utilize hands-on. And that happened more often than not in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now let's go over. Krav really is probably one of the more brutal and just straight to the point. I don't even know. You call it a martial art? Yeah.
No, I don't think it is, because a martial art definitely has, I would say, rules, or, you know, these are the things you can do, these are the things you can't do. And Krav Maga, at its essence, at its very base root, is finding the most applicable solution to the problem and getting out of there. Like, no matter how you evolve it, no matter how many different organizations you have, at the end of the day, it's to take a person, have a threat or a attack, counterattack, disengage, run away. Super simple, with the most effective counterattack that you are able to do in your capabilities at that moment.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then with like most martial arts, it has series of strikes, right? You're using fist, palms, using your palms, elbows, knees, everything goes.
And more importantly, to get them to use like common objects, right? Like that's the part of Krav Maga that's most effective is utilizing whatever tools are available near you in a violent way to get out of that situation.
Got it. So yeah, leveraging your environment. Just to kind of end the scuffle and get out of there.
Yeah.
All right. So with some of the techniques you put out when it comes to de-escalation, what are you telling your students? How do they de-escalate themselves out of a bad or a potential violent confrontation?
Well, I mean, depending on the situation, but if it's just, let's say you and I are down the street, right? We're walking, we're having a coffee, and there's just a guy with a hard on for a fight for whatever reason, because at the end of the day, that's how all these things happen. They don't, you know, though, when somebody bumps into you and you're like, hey man, I'm sorry. And they're like, you fuck you. You want to go? Like that dude woke up waiting to have a scrap. Mm-hmm. So your ability to verbally say things that are not going to make the situation worse. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, hey man, my bad. You know what? I was on my phone, making up small little lies to calm the person down. Cause at the end of the day, they just want to be right. So you're right. You're absolutely right, man. I fucked that up. Now, the hard part is teaching somebody where's the line, because the line is different for you. The line may be a little further back because of the skill sets that you have available. You know what you can get away with and what you can do. When you have somebody who's not very well skilled in violence, I work a lot more on their ability to find different angles of attack verbally to calm that situation down, or at least create a space or a time to get off the X verbally, so that if something does happen, they can utilize the environment or whatever small tool they have available to them to act and then run away, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha.
It's difficult to teach de-escalation, I think, is probably the hardest thing, because people don't know how to speak. It's either fuck you or, you know, I love you, man. Like there's very little in the way of communication. And the only reason I can do it is from working in bars. When you're dealing with drunks, you can't punch out every drunk, like you just can't. So your ability to sit there and take them off the ledge and calm them down before you know it, you're in the bar, or you've gotten them out of the bar, or you've been able to give them a drink to sit there and get them out of the bar. You know, that's the hardest thing to teach. Anybody can hit somebody. Like that's fucking simple. Talking them out of it, different story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's verbal judo, right? You've got to know how to use your words and articulate that you're not looking for trouble, and at the same time, calm that person down who is looking for trouble.
Yeah.
And then you'll agree that there's a point when that, you know, this person is just going to go keep going until a fight ensues.
Yeah.
And so,
Indicators, right? There's indicators from that. When you start hearing words like, fuck you, you're dead, or I'm going to kill you. You have to, in this day and age, more than even maybe when we were younger, you got to fucking take that for what it's worth and take it at face value. If this guy's angry, or woman, listen, there's a lot of fucking angry women out there too. So violence in general, if they're saying stuff like, you're dead, I'm going to kill you, and their hands are going in different directions, like you got to do something right there, right now, so that it catches them off guard, so that again you can run away. My whole thing, you know this, Clint, you've been around me, like get the fuck out of there.
Yeah,
you know, like you have to get out of there unless you're with your family, and that's a different story. But generally speaking, if you're alone, hit first, hit fast, hit hard, get the fuck out of there, right? Still a little bit of Jack Reacher there, but whatever.
And Cobra Kai, that's a little Cobra Kai-ish too.
Fucking sweep the leg, Johnny.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Like the Cobra Kai. What was their motto? Strike hard, strike fast, no mercy.
Yeah, no mercy. Yep.
Yeah.
I just saw a guy in Vegas when I was there yesterday or the day before with the guy wearing that shirt. It was like, you're awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that whole thing.
Right. That's cool. So retro. And that show is still, it's like, have you watched it? It's almost.
I have not watched it. And
it's so it's cheesy. It's addictive. Like you.
Is it good?
You're just kind of like, you know, you're kind of shaking your head the whole time, but you keep on watching from episode to episode. It's, I don't know. There's just something about it. It captures you for sure. You bring up a good point here. Now, and I like to make these little subtle points about, you know, the distance. Someone in your face versus someone, you know, 10 feet away. And there's this thing called the reactionary gap, right? Yep. And you know it well. But for those of you listening, the reactionary gap is the gap where whoever makes the first move usually wins. So if they're in your face, then you need to make the first move in order to get yourself out of that situation. Do not wait for them to make that move on you. Now, if you've got any kind of distance between you and your adversary, then, you know, then you've got a little more time. And I'm always telling people, the goal of any conflict, crisis, even a fight, is you want time to be an ally, not an adversary, right? Yeah. So taking advantage of time and creating gaps that create time will always work to your benefit. And but the reactionary gap is like, it's so important to know what it is. And it's different for each person based on arm length, height, the situation, the environment you're standing in. But probably the simplest way to put it without going over the entire chapter that's, you know, in Combat Edition is if someone's in your face, you better make the first move. You don't want them to make the first move.
No, no. And if it's gotten to that point where they're in your face, you fucked up a million times before that. Like your ability to sit there and not be in that position is there's a bunch of things that can be done before that. If they're already in your face, and I've said it's not really polite, but if you're that close, you're either fucking or fighting. There's only one reason. Those are the only two F's that should be why they're within headbutting distance. You made a mistake.
Right. Yeah, I agree totally. Now, for those maybe interested in Krav, you know, I get the question all the time, like, which martial arts should I take, Clint? Mm-hmm. I'm always like, well, you need to have a good striking game. You got to have a good ground game.
Yeah.
You know, so 99% of the fights end up on the ground. That's why you need to know what to do when you're on the ground. But your goal is to never go to the ground.
Yeah.
And never go to the ground, because where there's one, there could be many. And the last place you want to be is on the ground, getting kicked in the head by
curb stomping some dude's, is a real thing.
Yeah. Some dude's buddy coming along, kicking in the skull.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend? What is, I mean, obviously you're a Krav guy, so do you have the same philosophy or?
No, I'm usually, if it's somebody, let's say, especially like our youth, right? Our youth are at the epic center of violence, because their violence is probably going to happen more often than, say, you and I, right? I mean, the chances of us getting four or five guys swarming us and cracking us from behind and taking us to the ground and curb stomping us have lessened greatly. But if you're 16, 17, 15, it's going to happen more often. So I usually recommend that if their school has a wrestling program, learn it. Because if there's one person I don't ever want to fight, one, it's a Filipino that has a knife in his hand, or somebody who's got like wrestling ears. Like they're a nightmare. They'll pick you up and slam you down like a rag doll. So wrestling, and if you have nothing else, I usually say some kind of Thai, like a traditional Thai fighter, only because you can take all the rules off and they've got nine limbs. Is it nine limbs? I can't remember if they say nine limbs, but you're slitting and cutting and smashing and boom. You can do all that stuff in a striking capacity that's violent. So if you put those two together and you're a teenager, you're a nightmare for people.
Yeah. And that's kind of your little slogan, right? Be a nightmare for bad guys.
Yeah, it is. Be a nightmare for bad guys. Hashtag.
Yeah, that's it. I like it.
I don't know what a hashtag is.
Pound me. Pound. It's the pound symbol.
Pound,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Pound. Or pound me. Pound you. Pound. Me, yeah. Let's all just pound each other. And that can be taken in
hell. It would change the world. I'll say that for sure.
So I think to summarize that, for all those interested in the type of fighting you should take, it's not really one specific thing. It's go out, get some wrestling skills into your belt or jujitsu, one or the other.
Yep. Whatever.
And then go get some striking under your belt. Could be Thai, could be traditional boxing, right?
Boxing.
Yeah.
Like if you look at anywhere where there's, and I'm going to throw, you take any kid, like any, or any man that all of a sudden they start putting their hands by their chin, like think Kimbo Slice, right?
Yeah.
You want to fucking try to throw hands with that guy, bare knuckles? I've watched those videos. That's a bad motherfucker, man. I don't want a piece of that. So imagine that you get the abilities, learning with gloves, You know, we can't all have a UK national champion to teach us. So, you know, a little plug in there. Only because I love that guy so much, man. Yeah, I wish I could have been there for that one.
We're talking about Tony Jeffries.
Tony Jeffries.
Yeah.
To be able to throw jabs and crosses and legitimate hooks and uppercuts, but utilize them. I'm not a big striking with the fist kind of guy. But to have those options and know and feel confident that you can sit there and go toe-to-toe with one guy, add some ground, jujitsu, mm-hmm. or whatever. And then, you know, more than anything, and you've said this in the past, I'm just going to throw it right in there. Your fitness ability, and I'm talking just for teenagers because our obesity level is at such an insane number. Being able to run away from your problem is, you know, your first act. So if you're so heavy that you can't run 100, 200 meters, well, then what the fuck's the use? So just, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons why our youth should be strong and fit and whatever. We won't get into that, but striking, ground, fitness, like functional fitness, being able to climb over a wall to run away from the guys who are chasing you. Like that's a real fucking skill. So
yeah.
You should do whatever, go take some parkour, learn some rock climbing, add that shit to your toolbox so that if it comes, you're not going to have time to be like, can you come back in 6 months? I'll be ready then.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. I think, you know, managing a crisis starts with human performance. I've said it over and over again. Human performance is basically, you know, fitness. It's your aerobic, anaerobic capability, heart, lungs, muscle. Yeah. Get those things squared away and you'll be happier for it and you'll live longer. So, hey,
well, that's the funny part is there's a byproduct to what you're saying. You'll have a better quality of life. Better quality of life usually translates into a whole bunch of fucking upscale, cool things.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, most of the fights in an adult situation, not a kid's, because we all do stupid shit as a kid. But as an adult, if you're getting into fights and you're in your 20s and 30s, I have a question for what the fuck you're doing in your life.
Yeah.
Right. Really? Yeah. Like if you're like, yeah, man, I squared away with this dude last week. And then yesterday I had another guy. I'm like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? How are you? You're the problem, not the fucking world. You're the problem if you're fighting that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, who the fuck are you associating with?
Yeah. Maturity, right? Maturity goes a long ways. And
yeah. Easy to say at 52, but really, seriously.
52, man.
Yeah, man.
You don't look 52.
Listen, I'm a sure thing. You don't have to say sweet things to me. It's okay.
I'm just trying to work you. I know we're going to. All right. So. Let's go a little bit into the fundamentals, just so people know. I mean, you are an advocate for Krav. So how do people get started with Krav and what are the levels, belts? And it's not a belt system, it's a level system. But can you explain it, Cliff Notes version?
Well, as you know, in the martial combative community, there's 9 gazillion different organizations or whatever, and it just becomes a clusterfuck of I don't even know what to do. So here's the simplest way to go. Find a Krav Maga center that's in your neighborhood. There's a gazillion of them. Go in and take a class. If you feel, I'm going to get into what goes into that in a second, but if you feel like, yeah, you know what, this man or woman is teaching me shit that's going to not get me killed, I'm in. If you feel like, I don't know, this seems like a fucking joke, then get the fuck out. Because listening to your gut will save you money and pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. Now, most Krav Maga, it goes in an upward scale. Like your basics is your stance and your palm heel strikes, all your combatives, elbow strikes, knees, front kicks, side kicks, roundhouse kicks. And then going right into problem, like dealing with chokes or dealing with knife attacks. Like from the beginning, that's your first evolutions. Because, and in my belief, I don't have 6 months. The whole premise of Krav Maga is I don't have 6 months to deal with that knife attack. I got like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So the movements must be, and this is how you'll know whether or not it's a legitimate Krav Maga place or not. And I don't give a shit who fucking gives me hate mail. If I got to spend 20 minutes to explain something to you, it's not Krav Maga.
Yeah.
It should not be complicated. The most uncoordinated, useless piece of shit man or woman on the planet who are like, I can't do anything, should be able to do Krav Maga like that. It's so simplistic. And you saw the shit that we did for the book. You know, for the most part, everything should be Easy. How hard is it to smack somebody in the face? Everybody's done a high five and a push-up, or should do a push-up. Lifting your arm to lift up, like there's your elbow, going across, throwing elbows, all these things are simple. It's complicated because financially it's better for me if I complicate it, because you'll stay around longer so that I can make some money and you get to spend 12 months learning how to fucking throw a punch. Right. You should, I mean, again, throwing a punch is like the worst thing you could possibly do, but you should be able to throw a punch or a combative move within 5 minutes. If it's Krav Maga, like Krav Maga, you should be easy peasy, man. Super, super easy. And dealing with multiple attackers within your first week of being in class. Because at the end of the day, doing a 3-on-1 situation, such a fucking 5-year-old, three attackers against you, to fail, to see I went through the middle or whatever mistakes you make. Like, how else are you supposed to do it? But in a safe environment. So that, and I've said this a million times, it's been said a bunch of times, I'd rather you died 1,000 times on the mat so you can live the one time on the street. So yeah. I'd rather you learn that you fucked up against the knife and against the gun and all that stupid shit. Fail, learn, so that when it happens in real life, it should be as close to instinctive as possible, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's training. Training in its essence, right? Training. That's why you train, right?
It should be, yeah. So Krav Maga's got a whole bunch of different levels. And my main thing for anybody who's interested in Krav Maga is, as I said, go and sit down with the class. Go and try it out. Or just at least watch. And go and watch the instructor. Is the instructor somebody that's telling or saying things to students that you in your heart believe to be true? Because there's a lot of bullshit out there.
Yeah.
There's so much bullshit out there, it angers me to no end. Fucking Master Ken is better than half of the shit that's out there. And that's a fucking made up person.
Marcus, the guy who loves the fuck word more than I do, Torgerson, will be back after the break. All right, so to like basically give someone interested in Krav Maga some certifications to look for. What are they looking for? Is there anything that should be hanging on the wall they can ask their instructors and make sure that they're legit?
Well, and I'm obviously a little biased because all my training's been out of Israel. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that somebody who didn't go to Israel to learn is not a good person. We have tons of instructors in America that are really good at what they do, and they've never been to Israel. So. Right. That and then there's also a lot of people that have been trained by Israelis, whatever that means, and they're full of shit. So, you know, asking questions like what organization are you a part of, even that
what are the big legitimate ones so people know?
Well, obviously, the IKMF is IKMF, one of them, if not the best. You know, I'm trying not to be biased here, but there's Krav Maga Alliance, which is an American-based organization. John Whitman, solid cat. I've never met him, but I look at what he's teaching and he's legit. Krav Maga Alliance. You know, there's Worldwide, which has been around since the 90s. What I would be worried about is when you see a guy or a girl who's like, yeah, I trained and I learned from Bob's Taekwondo. And you're like, well, what's that got to do with Krav Maga? Well, you know, he had a course and I took it. And so I'm certified. Like, pedigree for me is not necessarily about who their instructor is, but looking at their certifications. Like, there's a lot of guys who are professional martial artists. They've got literally 20 different black belts. Awesome. However, if you're 30 years old and you've got 20 black belts, I'm just like, it's just the numbers.
That's pretty tough to pull off. Yep.
And that's really, honestly, Clint, that's why I'm saying go and check out this person, because there's a lot of people who have not really a lot of great pedigree, but they're great instructors. And they do a good job of saving people's lives and empowering people. And there's a lot of guys who have got the best certifications on the wall, and they're douchebags.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to get people fucking killed. So going in, and this goes for anything, whether it's wrestling or any school you're going to visit, check it out and give it a shot and see what, and try the class if possible, try it, because if they're making you feel stupid while you're learning the movements, get the fuck out of there. Because you should never, you should already feel stupid. You don't need somebody reminding you that you're stupid.
Right. Now, I'm curious, does the martial arts world have an app or a website that kind of does a review and rating system, 5 stars, comments? That way it's a one-stop shop to determining whether a place near you is actually credible and has, you know, a ranking, if you will.
That's a good question. I don't know if there is. If there isn't, somebody listening to this should definitely jump on that, because it would make, yeah. No, I'm being serious, it would make life a lot easier.
I mean, they're on every corner, right? I mean, yeah, every single corner, there's a fighting place. And it's like, why isn't there like a database that allows, you know, the end user to rate it like an Amazon, if you will, for martial arts, you know?
Right. But the problem I have with some of these reviews, like there's people who've reviewed your book and they've got fucking shitty comments. Well, fuck them. They didn't actually read the book.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're just
That's always going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they were able to sit there and read the title, it should be, you know, a bonus for them. But so I take reviews and like restaurants, you know, you see one with 1 star. It's a, let's say it's a Vietnamese place. It's got 1 star. Well, I want to go there because I want the customer service to be horrendous. And because I know the food's going to be fucking awesome. if they're rude to you in a Vietnamese restaurant, man, I'm good to go. Right on.
Well, then, hey, for all of you out there that have businesses that are 1 star, you just found your client. Here you go. The Marcuses of the world.
Yeah. Well, unless it's a massage parlor. I don't like those 1 star massage parlors.
Yeah, exactly there. I wonder why. Why would you get 1 star at a massage parlor?
1 star. Mm.
All right, shifting gears. You know, all the traveling you've done, I have to assume you've had some incidences somewhere on this planet where you've had some good lessons learned. Do you have any to share considering this is the,
I think that the one lesson that I learned very quickly was to shut the fuck up and be as, and I know the word gray is used a lot. As a white guy in Latin countries, you're never going to be gray. I mean, I stand out like a fucking sore thumb. However, being humble and shutting your mouth and reading the terrain is probably the best lesson I ever learned. I never felt unsafe except for Mexico City. And I was surrounded by good people. Like I had great people. I was around good people and I still felt fucking unsafe in Mexico City. And that, you know, that's because of cops and just the people in general. Mm-hmm. But Bogota is the one place where I've seen with my own eyes that if you're not paying attention, you're going to get fucking killed. We were in a Starbucks. I was teaching a course. I was with, ironically, a cop from Aruba and a couple other people. And there's an American couple just kind of diagonal to us. And, you know, they're talking loud and, you know, she's got a fucking Gucci purse or whatever. Like, they're just screaming, kill me and rape me. And just literally the table next to us, I look over and there's three dudes. They're talking, and you look underneath and one guy hands the other guy a knife under the table. And I'm looking over, I'm looking at our table and I'm feeling bad because they're mission focused, man. They're right on those people. One guy gets up, walks over to the left of the building. As they start to leave, one guy goes to the other side of the building. Then the couple leaves, then that guy leaves. And I just, as I went up to them, I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? Where are you from? Like trying to just stall it a little bit. And, you know, the guy was like, to lack of a better word, he goes, I'm good. And which I thought, 2 words in the English language were guarantee you to get killed. Is I'm good. I don't need any of that. And sure enough, man, they walked around the corner and I don't know what happened to them, but that was I never had any problems because I really kept my eyes open and my mouth shut. But that was the one part where I was like, God damn, that you can get snatched up or killed in a heartbeat. There was more robberies. I had workshops there. Everybody was mugged or robbed before they came to the workshop. There was 5 people. And it's just commonplace. They have their phone, you know, the iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have their burner phone. They have 2 wallets, they have 2 of everything in Bogota because it's just so rampant. The moped comes up, 2 guys hop off, 1 guy's got a gun or a knife, and you're done. I'm like, holy fuck, man.
They're carrying their real wallet, then they have their dummy wallet to give away, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same with phones. There's a pretty common theme overseas called apple picking, and that is going after Apple products. specifically, because, you know, you can do a master reset on them and have $1,000 phone, you know, for free, yeah, or resell them or whatever. But
yeah,
it's a big market over there and you got to be aware. And I think that's a, I think you bring up great points, like awareness, man. Awareness is number one, awareness, awareness, awareness. Number two, and I keep stressing this, is projection demeanor management. Look in the mirror before you walk out the door. You mentioned Gucci purse. You know, that's projection. Demeanor is how you walk, how you talk, how you act. You know, that's that's her being loud.
Yeah.
So you just took those two things away, and those three dudes would have probably never noticed them. But some people just don't know how to do that.
No. And, you know, if you're going to a third world country and you're wearing, like, even, like this shirt, as much as it's a Walmart shirt, it was $9.99. You know, it's still a little ambiguous, but still stands out because it's a logo. Any right. logo is going to stand out. So yeah. why not just go to fucking the dollar store, grab a t-shirt, some bullshit jeans, wear fucking not even Skechers, wear Shaq specials, you know, something that's, you know, $5.99. If you really plan, I mean, if you're going into dangerous spots, and everywhere is a dangerous spot. There's no safe spots, no safe havens on this planet any longer.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody's listening to this and they're like, no, I'm good. I don't need to worry about that. Hey, motherfucker, and that's male or female, it is you. You're not good. Anyways, I got a little fucking heated there. Sorry. I'm just picturing all the fucking retards sitting there going, no, I'm okay. I know Cream of some young guy, and I've shot a gun, and I have a knife. I'm good.
Yeah, they bought all the $300, $400 cool toys. They don't know how to use them. Yeah, there's a lot of those going around.
So
your favorite word is fuck, for sure, right?
Well, it's, yes, fornicating is a good word. Mm-hmm. I can't, I'm not, you've been around me a little bit.
Yeah.
I've tried the censor thing, Clint, and it takes me so long to have to try to find another word. By that time, I've lost what I was trying to say. So. Yeah. You know, tough
No,
shit.
It's a good word. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it does. There's another one that starts with a C and has a bunch of letters with a T. But in this country, that doesn't go over well. That's why I love Australia and the UK, because I can use it all day long and nobody gets offended.
Right. Yeah. They use that like the way we say, fuck, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good word because it's non-racial. It has no, and it can be used as a "I love you" kind of word, or it can be used as a "you're an idiot" kind of word. I love it, the ambiguity of it. Anyways, I'm sure we didn't get on me here, so I could talk about.
No, that's I like it. okay, so traveling, you've seen some stuff, and then, you know, to kind of close it out. You know, your bouncer time, was there ever anything during that time frame that you found was most helpful that other people could also leverage in order to get themselves out of a bad situation?
Well, and, you know, if you're going to anywhere where there's men, women, and alcohol, right, you've already gone into a powder keg of a shit show. I would say watch when you're going to the bathroom. You have a good friend that brought up some good points about what happens in a bathroom. It is the ideal place to ambush somebody. I'm actually writing an article for a magazine right now on dealing with attacks in a bathroom. So I think that's something to be aware of. And now a lot of places will allow you to bring your liquor into the bathroom. So at least you have a weapon to use against them. If possible. And I think it's just, again, you said it, awareness. You're going in a public place. There's loud music. There's people drinking. There's a whole bunch of drama going on that you're walking into, and just be aware when you're talking to this chick, because you think you're going to get laid, you know, check around, you know, did she come with a dude? Cause she's just sitting there wanting to get her boyfriend upset because he pissed her off before they went into the place. And you're going to get loose teeth because she's trying to make a revenge thing. Like look around and ask questions. You know, why is this person coming up out of nowhere to talk to me? You know, I love the fact that, you know, we're trying to be more open, but the truth is if you and I are out of nowhere and some dude walks up to me, and not you, cause you're the famous one, and walks up to me and says, "Hey man, I like your shirt." Like, you should already have your, like, look at him, take a quick look around, look at him, look at his hands. That is the number one thing I would say if you're in a bar situation, hands. Yeah. Watch hands. Because if somebody's carrying that bottle neck up, you're gonna be eating it across the face. Do they have their hands behind their back? Where, if you can see their hands, at least that's one, two opportunities for them not to to put you in intensive care.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. Kind of basically good situational awareness at a macro level. Understand the environment you're in, like you said, women, men, alcohol. You already know you're going into kind of a potential shit show.
Yeah.
And then once you're in there, anybody who's in near and dear, you got to look at the hands and make sure it's safe. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I like it. Simple, simple, simple works.
That's if there's one thing that sums me up, it's I'm a simpleton.
Yeah. No, I think there's something to be said for that. I say it all the time. And I always end the show with, you know, keep it simple because crisis complicates the rest, right?
True story.
You're listening to Can You Survive This Podcast? Thanks for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe, rate, and share on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows. Marcus, Tasmanian Devil Torgetson, will be back after the break. All right, now, I appreciate it, man. That was a you better stretch out. Go ahead, stretch out, get ready, because here we go.
My warrior pose, hold on. All right, I'm ready.
And now for your hypothetical survival world scenario.
Hold on, is it cheating if I have these books available to me now? Like, is that cheating? I just want to know.
No, yeah, you can, if you want to reference, you know, I might put you on the clock. You know,
all right, bit, look at that. I already have some things already in there. All right,
you've definitely been studying 100 Deadly Skills, that's for sure.
Yeah,
well, I appreciate that. Okay, let's let me get my microphone sorted here so I can actually read. I find myself battling this stuff on my desk.
You got your your readers on there?
I do. Look at these. Yes,
which are those, the ones?
Gators.
Those are the ones, yeah. Yes.
Gators, they
provide, you know, I've never really even, like, they were never on my radar for whatever reason. Like, I'm like a Walmart kind of guy, and I've been looking more and more of them because every time you post them, I'm like, fuck, those are sexy. Damn it.
They do a good job.
At the readers. I think actually I'm talking about just from the readers, like the sunglasses are dope, but from the reader's perspective, because my eyes are worse than yours, I can barely see the screen. So I might just invest in it because it's a good investment.
Yeah, they are. They're made in the USA, and I mean, if you watch the TV show SEAL Team, those guys are all wearing them. So I mean, you should too.
Yeah,
SEALs made Gators famous. It is our eyewear of choice. Nice. They should be paying us right now. I'm talking way too much about them. Okay, all right. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
We gave you a difficult one, but I think you'll be all right. All right, here we go. Make sure you listen. Okay, take notes if you need to. Here we go. So every now and then, we like to do a little friendly competition on the show. We know you could handle pretty much any combat scenario that we throw at you, so we're coming up with something a little different, okay? So today, we want to see how you would do in a survival scenario that was completed last season by a renowned astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson, okay? Or is it Neil deGrasse? deGrasse Tyson. Well, however you pronounce that, that's the guy. So he was the last one to do this scenario. So you're kind of going up, right? You're going head to head with him. All right. And, you know, I think we'll have to look back and see how he did. Your goal is just to beat him. All right. So the way this works, I'm going to give you the scenario. I'm going to walk you through a path, and there'll be questions along the way, and there'll be two answers, A and B. You pick which one you think is right at the end of the 10. Hopefully you get 10 of 10 correct.
Yep.
But if you go, you know, if you get four or more wrong, well, then you fail, right? So do not be a failure, Marcus. Do not be a failure.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Okay. So you are in New York. You have just completed a seminar where you were speaking to a group about self-defense in downtown Manhattan, okay? Now you're in an Uber headed back to town to a hotel when all of a sudden, to the west, you see an incredibly bright light, right? A 10 kiloton nuke has been blown up in New Jersey, which is approximately 3 miles away from your location. First question. Do you A, tell the Uber driver to start hauling ass, or B, have the driver pull over and stop. Manhattan.
Yeah. Fuck. All I know is every movie I've seen of Manhattan is TikTok. Traffic is a TikTok. Standstill and you can't get anywhere.
Ooh, good point. Love it. You're on the right path.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna get out of the car and because he's not gonna be able to go where I. Panic will be fucking everywhere. It'll be a shit show. So I'm gonna get out of the car and fucking try to find some kind of cover from fucking nuclear thing. I don't know what that'll be, but fucked in the car and fucked out of the car. So I'm gonna.
Yeah,
I'm
you're yes, good. Yeah. I like it, man. You're starting off. So yeah, in New York traffic, hauling ass is not an option. Unless it's a pandemic, everybody's home, and the only thing on the streets is nothing. So, I mean, we've seen it. I've seen it, but not in this case. You do not want to be in the vehicle when the blast wave hits anyway, all right? So you have the driver pull over, and he lets you out, okay? Next, do you, A, run to a building that is 100 yards away and get inside, or B, get down on the ground behind a concrete bench?
I get behind a concrete bench.
Oh, man, that was quick. Did you have a reason for that?
Well, it just makes sense that if that shit's coming, the speed in which it's coming and me running 100 yards, I don't know if you know this, but I got a little fat boy status going on here. So running 100 yards, I'm going to be out of breath. If I can hide behind concrete.
Yes.
That's better cover than I probably would get in a house.
Exactly. The blast waves traveling at the speed of sound. Not too many of us can run at the speed of sound, especially a 100-yard sprint. Yeah. And unless you are one of the fastest people on Earth, like Bolt. What's his name? Isaiah Bolt? Yeah, that dude.
Yeah. Usain. Yeah.
Usain, that's right.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it inside in time, okay? So New York does have heavy concrete benches. So because you won't outrun the blast wave, you want to take cover behind a thick concrete bench. Or concrete wall, or you know, even a heavy concrete planter or boulder that you anything you can see really, just get behind it. Okay, so next, do you A, lay on your stomach, cross your legs, cover your ears, and keep your mouth open, or B, curl up into a little ball?
Well, I know that I was told that if there's a grenade that goes off, I'm supposed to do the first thing. So,
100 Daily Skills Book 1. 100 Daily Skills Book 1.
Yeah. So, I figure if the word explosion or nuclear or whatever, if that's what they're telling, I'm going to go with the first one, even though I think in my real world, I'd probably be in the second one.
I think the fetal position sure has a part when you're, maybe, I don't know, it might be a nice way to die. I don't know.
Well, I'll take it. I came into this world in the fetal position. I don't mind going out.
Yeah, that's right. So, yes, you're correct. Lay on your stomach, cross your legs. So you have the blast. That's going to be debris, hence the concrete bench, protecting you from whatever comes your way. But then you have pressure, right? Pressure ends up being probably the bigger killer of the two, to be honest with you. So by laying flat on the ground, you reduce that cross-section of the blast wave against your body. But by covering your ears and opening your mouth, you're basically avoiding the over-pressurization of your lungs, right? Well, you always got to remember, you've got these two bags full of air, and it could destroy your insides in a heartbeat if you don't give the pressure a place to release, so hence keeping your mouth open. All right. So next, do you A, stay put once the blast wave has passed, or B, get away from the large wall, get away from the large wall that's next to the bench that you are hiding behind?
I'm going to get out of there because I don't want anything falling on me after
something. There we go. Yeah. So after a blast, then there's going to be a lot of instability in every structure within 10 miles, right? So structures are going to be likely damaged. And, they might fall on you. So good rule of thumb is to get away from compromised structures by a measure of 3 times the height of that structure.
So say that one more time. So I want to be, if the building's six stories, I want to be
Three times that away.
Three times. Shit.
Yeah, it's some distance. But
that's a big distance.
It's a, or, you know, in a really dense area, something like Manhattan, putting buildings between you and damaged buildings, right? You're just going to put as many buildings between you and the ones that are falling as possible, and hopefully those serve as barricades, if you will.
Some kind of cover, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you move away from the wall, which could come down at any moment. So next, do you A, get back into your Uber to try and flee, or B, take a moment and find an older model vehicle which may be parked nearby?
I'd have to go with the older model, because isn't the blast going to take out the electronics on a lot of these on these vehicles?
That is correct. With a nuke blast also comes an EMP, right? The electromagnetic pulse that comes with it. And so that's going to fry anything with a computer chip. So your communication will be down, your car, more modern cars will be down. Nothing's going to work. It's pretty scary.
I'm fucked because I can't drive a stick. So either I'm going to learn. It's not going to be my car, so I'm not going to worry about the clutch too much. But there's going to be a lot of doing this for the first little bit till I get my groove going on.
That's all right. You can just keep it in first gear and just go nice and easy.
Well, right. It's not my car, and I don't really care if anybody's going to judge me. I'm going to get out of there.
Yeah. All right. All right, because you're 3 miles from the detonation, this means you have about 20 minutes before fallout starts, right?
Okay.
You're looking due west at New Jersey, all right? And you can see the fallout coming due east straight towards your position, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get lucky. The keys to an older car that you choose to get fall right out of the visor once you get in the vehicle. So next, do you A, floor it heading east away from the fallout, or do you floor it heading north or south?
I'm going to floor it north or south.
B, correct. Yes, because you want to go perpendicular, right?
Yeah, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah, there's a good rule of thumb with most crises, you know, natural disasters, social unrest, a big cloud of poisonous gas. You want to go perpendicular to the chaos, right? That is going to be the fastest way to get yourself out of the line of fire of this thing. You don't want to try and outrun it, right? If it's the only option, then maybe you get that. It'll be behind you, but the minute you can go perpendicular to any crisis, then you should. All right.
See, now, the beautiful part, I'm going to cut you off real quick, because the people that are listening to me right now or listening that are students of mine, that reminds me of the puke zone. When you're fighting, you and I are fighting, and I want to get off of the line of attack. If I stay in front of you or go backwards, I'm in all blood, and puke is going to come on me, so I tell everybody to go right or go left. So, I'm happy that I'm teaching the right shit. Because in the nuclear thing, I'm going to do the same thing. Whew!
That's right.
All right.
Going perpendicular.
Perpendicular. It's not in my vocabulary. Perpendicular.
Juke left, go right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. It all works. All right. Okay. New York gets most of its weather from New Jersey. I'm sure there's some great sayings that come with that. So for this particular hypothetical scenario, the strong easterly winds are driving the swath of fallout due east. And for fallout, you want to go perpendicular, which we covered. Okay. So you only have about 10 minutes left before the fallout hits. Okay. So do you A, get out of the car and try to create more distance by running on foot, or B, seek shelter immediately?
I'm gonna seek shelter immediately.
Correct. B. The fallout cloud could expand, over a large area, right? And it's unpredictable, really, based on the wind. With only 10 minutes left, you're better to spend that time looking for something suitable to take shelter. With fallout, not only are there debris coming, but there's also this huge wave of deadly gamma rays that most people don't think about. And these will exist for many, many hours after the blast.
Gamma rays, like Incredible Hulk gamma rays?
Yes, or the same ones. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the same ones.
So
but if used properly, you could be the Incredible Hulk.
Okay. All right. Good. But what you're telling me is not to sit there and stand in front of them thinking it may happen.
Right.
Okay, yes. Good to know.
You need to find shelter.
Good to know.
You do not want to try and use this. Yes, you don't want to try and use this opportunity to become the Incredible Hulk. Unless, okay. You know, hey, you've got nothing else better to do. In your effort to seek shelter, you see a wooden framed warehouse very close by, or B, half a block in the other direction, you see a 10-story brick building. Which one do you choose? Gamma waves.
Gamma waves, yeah.
Gamma waves.
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
Waves of gamma rays.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the brick because it just sounds like it's something that would stop something. So I'm going to go with the brick.
Yes. Brick, concrete, steel. I mean, the thicker, the better is what it boils down to because gamma rays have a penetrating force... that can be slowed down or stopped by dense materials like brick and concrete. So that's really what you want to do. You got to remember these things. This is like the microscopic of all microscopic, and that's why it can, you know, penetrate through most of the solid materials around us. So you want to pick the most dense, thickest stuff you can. Your primary concern in fallout, and if you're going to have to shelter in place, you need to find shelter that gives you that best shot at blocking those gamma rays. Note, a 10-story brick building is also likely to be reinforced by steel, like rebar and everything else.
Right.
So the brick and the steel should be safer than a wooden structure. All right.
Yeah.
So you get into the brick building because you chose wisely. Once inside, do you A, search for supplies that may be useful should you need to shelter in place for an extended period of time, or B, strip off clothes and try to find a sink and some way to rinse yourself off?
Oh, shit.
Stumper.
Yeah, that is.
Question number nine.
Yeah. I'd rinse off because I can always find, have the time to go and look for stuff that's, I'm going to shelter in place and stay in there for a while. So I would try to rinse off whatever might be on me as fast as possible.
Yeah, that is correct. So,
Yeah.
You've been outside and in that, that nuclear dust, if you will, right. Nuclear being the key word, you got to get it off of you. If you keep the dust of clothes on, no matter where you go, you're basically contaminating yourself. You know, it's no different. It's almost like treating like a virus. We all know how to treat that. It's kind of doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to stop. You got to strip, right? My favorite part. You have to strip and then rinse yourself off and hopefully get yourself all nice and clean and tidy. And you don't want to continue to spread the dust to everywhere else. All right. All right. So now that you're naked,
and
20 minutes has passed, the building topples and you are crushed, naked and alone. Just kidding. Last question. Do you A, climb to a higher floor in the building, or B, head for the basement?
Well, if I go to the basement, it'll just fall on top of me. So I'm going to go to the top. I'm going to go to the top.
You're going to the top?
Well, I mean, if I go to the... Well, it's nuclear. Nuclear, Marcus. No, fuck, they always said... I'm just remembering everything that I was told as a young child. I'll go to the basement. I hope that's right. I'm going to go to the basement and see how that goes.
Basement it is. Good
Holy
job.
Christ.
Look at you. Oh. Talked yourself right into the right answer. Okay.
Whew.
Yeah, if you move above ground, the fallout, right? The fallout is still the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So there's going to be windows, and gamma rays can just pass through all of those other opportunities, right? So going to the basement gives you 360 degrees of shielding, if you will.
Right.
Basement surrounds you with not just the walls, the steel, but also earth. And the earth is probably going to be your best bet. Okay. So, wow, you have survived this podcast. And to note, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist, super nerdy, smart guy.
Yeah.
Got 100% as well, just like you. Congratulations.
Oh, I'm going to call him up and be like, yo, Neil, you and me, buddy, twinsies.
Yeah. The street fighter, common sense, Krav Maga guy just tied with the overeducated nerd.
That
good job.
Is,
I love
it. I'm seriously going to sit there and I'm going to find a way to contact and be like, listen, dude, I'm just the same as you. There's no difference. Okay.
No,
same.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that
no,
was
you
tough.
Did. You did. What I liked is you did a good job just kind of talking through it and reminding yourself of the situation you're in. And I think that plays a role here in the real world, too. You find yourself in a situation, you got to like almost talk it out loud very quickly and make decisions. You made decisions. You didn't stall too long. You kind of waited out very quickly and then you made a decision, which is, you know, tactical decision making is something that doesn't come natural for a lot of people, right? They're used to more of a clinical setting where you have plenty of time and zero stress.
Yeah.
Tactical decision-making is lots of stress, zero time.
Yeah.
And so it's something that, you know, if you what if, or just by continuing to listen to these scenarios, you will train your brain, you will calibrate it, sensitize it to crisis so that if you ever find yourself in a crazy situation, hopefully, you'll fall back on some of this information and get yourself out of that bad event, whatever it may be, wherever you are in the world. So, hey, Marcus, I appreciate you coming on the show. Where can people find you, sign up for your classes, all that good stuff?
Well, the best way to go would be on website, www.marcustorgerson.com. That leads you to any socials, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. And any classes that I'll have upcoming will usually be posted there.
All right.
Website awesome. Was somebody really wise was like, Marcus, get your shit together and get a website together. So I took that advice from that person who basically said, you know, fucking you got 100 days, get your shit together. So,
I appreciate you coming on board, man. A lot of great information. I hope people can leverage to get into personal self-defense or anything of that like, or maybe even Krav Maga from Marcus himself. So, and remember, like I always say, keep it simple because crisis will complicate the rest, and I'll see you next time. Can You Survive This Podcast is a production of Calvary Audio and iHeartMedia. Recorded live from a secure location here in Dallas, Texas. Produced by Brandon Morgan, Jeff Apple, and Clint Emerson. Executive produced by Keegan Rosenberger and Dana Brunetti. For Calvary Audio, I'm Clint Emerson.